All right. We are on with Congresswoman Kendra Horn, the lone Democrat in the Oklahoma Congressional District. And gosh, the first one in a while. I was trying to think back. Mike Sinar is the last one I remember. I might be missing somebody.
Well, Dan Boren the last, the last one. And before that, Brad Carson, they were both in the second congressional district.
All props to both of those gentlemen. You were elected as part of the, I guess, the blue wave. I mean, the U.S. House of Representatives flipped in a big way in 2018. And you are part of that freshman class. And it's completely on me that we have not spoken prior to this. And I apologize for that. But now that we've got a chance, tell me a little bit about, A, is your head still spinning a little bit just from the culture shock and from, you know, being a first-time congresswoman? And B, how are things going there? It seems a little tempestuous from where I'm sitting.
Well, I will say I feel like we're getting into a rhythm. It was definitely a bit like drinking from a fire hose as we got started, but I feel I feel really fortunate. We've built a really good team both here in Oklahoma and in D.C. to make sure that we are doing the best job possible of serving every single person in the 5th Congressional District. There's, of course, a lot involved in getting up and running, but we've gotten the office moving, just really been out in the community a lot. So I think that's one of the things that's very helpful about this is making sure that we're staying connected to what's happening on the ground here in Oklahoma and listening to everybody and, you know, what their concerns are, what their hopes are, so I can be better able to serve. And you're right. It was a big class of us that came in together. But I think one of the things that has been, I think one of the most pleasant surprises is, you know, there are a lot of really good people that came into Congress with me that were, you know, ran for the same reasons I did to make their communities better places, and they wanted to help and serve. And it's interesting. There's definitely a lot happening, but I think if you look at a lot of the coverage of this class, you'd think there are only about 3 new members of our class, when in reality, there are many more of us who are just ready to make a difference, use our good common sense, and try to help people.
So, yeah, and what was it, 98 or something, new Congress? I mean, it was a big freshman class.
It was just over 100, so.
Just over 100. All right, so already, let's go ahead and point out the elephant in the room. The 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma, which for listeners who don't know is basically the Oklahoma City Metro. Am I characterizing that fairly?
Mostly. It's most of Oklahoma County, and then it also includes Seminole County and Pottawatomie County, just the south and the east as well.
All right. So it's already been targeted by the Republicans for recapture. And I mean, they're seriously trying to raise money and targeting your district and you specifically. What do you think has them? Are they spooked, or are they just in shock that this particular seat flipped? Because maybe I don't think a lot of people saw that coming.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't see that coming, except, you know, a lot of people on the ground here that in our grassroots effort really got out and worked hard and helped us talk to our friends and neighbors and made it happen. So, you know, this seat is one that's been, you know, held by a Republican for a long time. And of course, I'm not necessarily surprised at that, but I am right now just putting all the focus possible on showing up and doing the best we can for everybody in the district. And, you know, starting off by telling every member of my team that we're here to serve people regardless of their background, regardless of their political affiliation, regardless of who they voted for. Our job is to show up and serve. And we're going to work hard to represent the people and work hard towards 20.
So a lot of times when I'm talking to people, especially people outside the state of Oklahoma, and I've lived here for about 25 years, so I've got a kind of an inkling of how things work around here. And they talk about, you know, Oklahoma Democrats. And I say, well, the first thing you need to understand is an Oklahoma Democrat is not a Massachusetts Democrat or a California Democrat. They tend to be more, you know, center of the road. And I noticed when I was speaking with your communications director a couple days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, I think it was, even after the redacted Mueller report came out, you were holding fire. In other words, a lot of Democrats were already out kind of, you know, on the soapbox one way or another. But you were more like, you know, I think I want to read it. I think I want to digest. I think I want to think about it before I come out and say anything. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, just, I don't know, being a moderate Democrat in a time of increasing polarization politically in this country?
Absolutely. You know, I think you're right. An Oklahoma Democrat is very different than people from other places. But I think that also really points toward the need to have different voices, different people from different places, so we can have a diversity of opinion that really looks more like our communities. And that's one of the things that's important to me, because number one, in any decision I'm making, I'm looking at it through the lens of myself as an Oklahoman, a member of this community, as an American, and then, you know, party informs that, but it is not the number one thing. And so my decisions are always made based on what's best for Oklahoma in the 5th congressional district. And one of the things I've heard repeatedly is that people are tired of this hyperpartisanship. I'm tired of it, and that's why I think it's critical that we look at everything that's in front of us. We've got real issues that we need to tackle. We have continuing challenges with healthcare, and I'm working hard to, you know, make sure that we continue to protect the advancements we made under the ACA, things like protecting people with pre-existing conditions, lifetime caps, that we continue to make progress on taking care of the cost of prescription drugs and so many other things that need to be tackled, looking at education, making sure that we're addressing the mounting student debt crisis. So those are the things, and create job creation. Those are the things that I really want to focus on, and I think it's critical. And at the same time, as lawmakers, it's our job as Congress to hold other agencies accountable, to provide our role as oversight, and I take that very seriously. So I don't want to make premature decisions, and I'm not into, you know, pointing fingers just because of a letter behind somebody's name, but I am very serious about taking the duty and the oath I swore to the Constitution seriously. And, you know, this polarization that you're talking about is something that I've observed. I think part of it is the way that our issues are covered. It's easy to look at people on either end of the spectrum and, you know, and put that message out there. But just like this class, most of us, the majority of us, fall somewhere closer to the middle. And I think that's true of most of the U.S. It's just we've got a lot of people who are loud on either side, and that's a, you know, that's a more nuanced story. But I have found support and have been able to work across the aisle in D.C. in the Congress, and going to continue to do that here on the ground in Oklahoma, because that's what's important.
You know, I think you're spot on. I think most Americans are in closer to the middle, and it's just the loudest ones that are on the fringes, left and right, that make the most noise and spend the most time trolling on social media or what have you. And I think that's a very cogent point. You know, you were talking about being a representative, and something that's I find interesting is, you know, here we are. We're coming up to the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment being ratified. Mm-hmm. And we still have about one of four representatives in the United States Congress are female. And obviously the population's, you know, closer to 50-50. In fact, I think it leans more towards the female side than the male side. That seems to be changing. Do you still fight the old boy culture or male-dominated culture in Congress, or does it feel like it's fairly equitable to you so far?
Well, I think you've got a really great point there that, you know, what our elected bodies look like doesn't necessarily look like our communities yet. And that's one of the reasons that's important that we have so many more women and that our Congress is becoming more diverse and our other elected offices, not because men or women are better or any of that, but because a diversity of opinions gets us out of, you know, groupthink, and it brings new ideas to the table. And certainly there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm really pleased about the progress we're making, but we're not there yet. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we passed the Paycheck Fairness Act the Paycheck Fairness Act that is addressing income inequality and the wage gap, which is very real. Now, this isn't a women's issue. This is an issue that impacts all of us. It's an economic issue. It's an issue that impacts our families and our ability to, you know, grow and thrive. And I think we have to look at it like that. But, you know, there's a lot of work that we still have to do to make sure everybody has a seat at the table, which is part of the reason I'm, you know, so honored to be here. And I am only the third woman ever elected to serve in the U.S. Congress from Oklahoma. And I am the first Democratic woman to serve in Congress from Oklahoma. So, you know, it's exciting to hold that position. And I take it seriously in order to be hopefully an example and a voice that helps our whole state.
You know, you're right on with, you know, equal pay affects not just women, because, you know, if your wife's working and she's not making as much money as a guy sitting in the cubicle next to her, that's your family's, you know, income that's suffering, not just hers. So I totally get you there. Well, I we're about out of time, and I wish we had more, but that's okay. I do want to ask about 2020. Obviously, you're going to be running, so you're going to be very busy, but certainly there's got to be a lot of conversation going on in the Democratic Party right now about who in the heck are we going to run for president against Donald Trump in 2020. Kind of looking over the field, and it's a big one right now, and I know it's very early days, but are any names, any personalities, any messages resonating with you at this point?
You know, I'm still looking at all the candidates that are out there, but one thing I will say that is important is that I think we need somebody that can speak to people all across the country and not just in a few places. And I think we need somebody that can expand the conversation and speak to the work that needs to be done and what we want to do that's going to bring us together more. And I hope to see that come out. And I don't know who's going to emerge. I think this crowded field certainly is an interesting one to watch. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep fighting for, you know, increasing access to quality, affordable health care, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, and expanding educational opportunities and making sure that we're building a strong infrastructure and jobs in our communities so I can, you know, be a part of the solution. And I hope that whoever we nominate has some of those same ideas and values.
Okay, Representative Kendra Horn of Oklahoma's 5th District. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line for 1 second, but I'm going to go ahead and shut down the recording unless there's something else you want to add before I do that.
Nope. Russell, thank you so much for having me on. Look forward to speaking with you again soon.